RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, and first in television, presents the Bill Harris, Alice Faye Show. Enjoyment, here is the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Scharf in his music, and yours truly, Bill Forman. Today, Phil is given an order by his boss, Mr. Scott. It is the kind of an order that cannot be ignored. In fact, absolutely no one could find a loophole in it, except Frankie. More about this in a moment. First, a word from RCA Victor. You're really set for television pleasure when you choose an RCA Victor superset. For performance, quality, and value, RCA Victor television is superior in every sense of the word. Yet now, you can buy a superset at wonderful low prices. Yes, you can buy the Selfridge Ensemble, for example, for only $379.50. The 21-inch Selfridge Ensemble with a handsome matching consolette base is the latest thing in television furniture. It comes complete, and you get clearer pictures, stronger pictures, steadier pictures. You get television with picture power, all for only $379.50. And this price is complete, including federal excise tax, full-year warranty on the 21-inch picture tube, and no extra charge for mahogany finishes. So buy the magnificent Selfridge Ensemble. And when you do, ask about a factory service contract. When you buy RCA Victor Television with RCA Factory Service, you get television's greatest combination. And now the stars of the RCA Victor program, Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Phil and Alice's sponsor, Mr. Scott, has called a special meeting of the company board of directors to discuss their advertising budget. As we look in, the meeting has just started.
Gentlemen, I hereby call to order this board meeting of the directors of RCA Victor.
Board meeting.
I know you are all proud to be associated with RCA Victor.
Proud associated.
As you all know, our company is one of the largest of its kind in the world. And RCA...
RCA, 21-inch picture. RCA.
Mr. Jellison.
Yes, Mr. Scott.
Every time I mention the name of our great company, you mutter something under your breath. Why, little man?
If it's such a great company, how come I'm a vice president and I only get $18 a week?
That's just an honorary title. You were hired just to pose for our trademark.
Well, someday I'm going to quit, and then you'll have to get a real dog to sit in front of that big store.
Jellison, you're being paid exactly what you're worth. Have you ever done anything to help further the company?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do a lot of research where I get home. In fact, last night I made the famous television test.
What television test?
Well, I took five... I repeat, I took five of the most popular brands of television sets and placed them next to each other. Then I peeled the sides off each one, and ours was the only one that held together.
Jellison, that test is used on cigarettes.
All I know is it worked on television sets.
Gentlemen, as you know, our advertising budget is very high, and we must cut expenses on one of our shows. We sponsor Ezio Pinza, Dennis Day, Phil Harris, and Kukla, Fran, and Ollie. And it's up to you, gentlemen, to decide which one will be cut and who's going to break the news to Phil Harris.
We're going to fire Phil Harris?
No, we're merely going to dispense with his band. I asked Mr. and Mrs. Harris to come down. They're waiting outside, so let's call them in and tell them the news. Mr. Paley, let them in. And Commander Jellison, I'll do the talking, so keep your flabby little mouth shut.
Big Sean, just because he's got two swimming pools, this guy thinks he's...
Oh, hiya, Mr. Scott.
Good morning, Mr. Scott.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Harris. Allow me to present my board of directors.
Nice embalming job. Looks like my violin section. What do you want to see me about, Mr. Scott?
Harris, I'll get right to the point. The company has a problem and, well, we need your help.
Well, if the company needs help, you've come to the right man. Just tell me how much you need and I'll have Alice make out the check.
Oh, Phil, don't be silly. RCA doesn't need my money, do you, gentlemen?
Oh, of course not, Miss Fay. Our company is in much better shape than you are, financially. The other way, you have it all over us.
Jellison. Harris, I hate to have to tell you this, but your program has too many high-priced elements, and in order to save money, you'll have to tell the boys in your band they're fired.
You want me to tell... Oh, boss, somebody's been tampering with your antenna. You just don't tell musicians things like that.
Why not?
Well, they're moody. You never know what they'll do. They're liable to fire me before I can fire them.
How can they fire you?
They'll pour a can of gasoline over me and light a match.
Oh, now, Harris, this is something you have to do. And don't worry, we'll protect you. We'll wet you down before you go.
Oh, but Mr. Scott, we can't do our show without the orchestra. After all, Phil and I sing, and we need background accompaniment.
Well, I figured that out. While you sing, Mr. Harris can hum, and vice versa.
I ain't a hummer.
Well, Harris, I hate to do this. I know your boys have been with you 16 years, and I feel distressed about firing them.
Mr. Scott, do you realize that if I let the band go, Frankie will no longer be on the show?
Oh, you're just saying that to make me feel better.
Well, Mr. Scott, what's Frankie going to do? How's he going to make a living?
Oh, he can always go back to his old job.
No, no, honey, he can't. His wind isn't as good for that anymore.
What was he, a foam blower in a brewery?
Oh,
Mr. Scott, please. Remley had a very responsible job. He was a breather in a lobster plant.
A breather?
Yes. When the green lobsters crawled by, he'd breathe on them and turn them red.
You know, if you were talking about anybody else but Remley, I wouldn't believe that story. Now, Harris, stop stalling. Your band has to go. Now, when are you going to tell them?
Well, we're having a rehearsal in a half an hour, and I might as well tell them then and get it over with.
And make sure you do. I'll come down to rehearsal later, and if you haven't fired them, I will.
All right, Mr. Scott, all right. Come on, Alice. Oh, gee. Honey, I hate to go down to that rehearsal and tell the boys they're through after 16 years. I wonder how they're going to take it.
I wonder how we're going to be able to sing without an orchestra.
I don't know, but we'd better find out right now. So on the way down, I'll sing, and you hum for me. Possibilities, possibilities. We're living in a world that's full of possibilities. Ain't no miracle too impossible for anyone who sees the possibilities. If you recall your history, then you will find that all its famous men turned out to be the kind of men who never stopped to look behind. They looked ahead to see what they could see, and they saw possibilities, possibilities. They never overlooked a single possibility. Proven naturally, opportunity is for the one who sees the possibilities. Each time you try to solve a new phenomenon, the skeptics say it's just a dream, I know. But after you're a hero and the job is done, then you can tell them all I told you so. Yes, there are possibilities, possibilities, if you will only make the most of your facilities. Folks will idolize, even eulogize the little guy that sees the possibilities. When Christopher Columbus proved the world was round, he called Queen Isabel on his return. She said, now tell me, Chris, about this place you found. He said, well, Belle, as far as I'm concerned, it's sure got possibilities, possibilities. I tell you, Queen, I've never seen such possibilities. And I really feel we should make a deal before somebody sees its possibilities. When little Abe was growing up in Illinois, to be a big success was his intent. He studied so much harder than the other boys, till one day he became our president. He saw the possibilities, possibilities. He never overlooked a single possibility. Proven naturally, opportunity is for the one who sees its possibilities. I guess by now there ain't no doubt about the point I'm bringing out. So if you'll open up your eyes, you are bound to recognize the possibilities, possibilities. We're living in a world that's full of possibilities. Ain't no miracle too impossible for anyone that sees the possibilities.
Fellas, this is a rehearsal. Quiet down. Let's have a little less noise. Come on, you guys. Quiet down. Quiet!
James in the park. I had to go pick on a policewoman.
Fellow musicians, this is a big day in the lives of all of us, for today marks the 16th year that we've been associated with our beloved maestro, that talented man who is the leader of our band.
Three cheers for Spade Cooley.
I'm not talking about Spade Cooley. Artie, don't you know who you're working for?
Give me a hint.
All right. Whose name appears on your check every week?
Oh, yeah. Three cheers for the California Bank.
Look, I'm talking about Phil Harris. What's the matter with you guys? You don't even know who your leader is, and yet last week, you all contributed money to buy him a present for our 16 years together.
What kind of a present did you buy him?
A beautiful gold watch. I got it right here in this box.
Gold, huh? Let's see it, Remley. Pass it around.
I can't pass it around.
Why not?
As soon as anyone touches it, it turns green. Now, look, fellas, Curly don't know anything about this, so when he comes in, I'm going to make a presentation speech that'll be the great...
Hey, hello, Frankie. Hi, you fellas.
Good morning, boys.
Curly? On behalf of the boys, we have something...
Frankie, I have something to say to you and the boys. I don't like to say this, but after 16 years of being together, it's the cheapest, most awful thing that anybody can do.
Oh, you saw the watch, huh? Don't you like it?
I don't know what you're talking about. Look, Remley, I got bad news for the boys in the band.
Curly, the boys in the band bought you a present, and we... What bad news?
Well, it's my unpleasant duty to tell them that... What present?
Well, the boys chipped in and bought you... First, let's have the bad news.
That can wait. Let me see the present.
In a minute. It's in this box. But first, I have to make a speech. Gentlemen, we are gathered here on this auspicious occasion to make a presentation.
Thank you.
Let go of the box. I ain't finished yet. Gentlemen, our leader was born in 1800 and... Of poor but honest parents. His early childhood was spent in a ramshackle wigwam. But this Cherokee savage overcame his... and by sheer character and personality, lifted himself to the heights of obscurity. At the age of 8, he went to New Orleans.
Which reminds me of a very funny story. It seems there were two old maids. They were going down
door. Never mind the story, Jessel. Give me the present.
Okay, Curly. We take great pleasure in presenting you with this beautiful hand-engraved solid watch.
Gee, thanks, fellas.
Wait a minute. Remley, didn't you leave a word out between solid and watch?
What word?
You should have said gold.
Well, I should and I would, but I can't because it ain't.
I can't wait to see it.
Neither can I. Hey, this is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, friend of mine's a jeweler. He made it for me. Tells the time, the day, the month, and the year.
Yeah, it's got everything on it. The hands are certainly... Hey, Remley.
What's me?
I don't want to complain, but there seems to be something wrong with this watch.
What's wrong?
Well, according to this watch, the time is now 20 after 13.
So it's 5 minutes fast. It's only a quarter after 13.
I don't believe I ever saw a watch with 13 hours on it.
Jeweler threw in an extra hour as a bonus. I had a choice of that or a baseball bat. And see how beautifully he engraved the numerals. All of them. Look. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 6.
Wait. 2 fives?
Yeah. Makes the cocktail hour last longer. With this watch, you can drink for an hour, and when you're finished, you're just getting started.
Remley, that's the most ridiculous thing. Hey, can I trade in the 6 and 7 for 2 more 5s?
Huh?
I don't hear the watch ticking. Are there any works in it?
Oh, of course there are. It's not ticking because it hasn't been wound. Oh. Curly, wind it up. Here's the crank.
All right, I'll crank it, and you pull out the choke.
Don't be sarcastic. Just wind it up.
Okay, I'm winding it. Oh, wow.
Runs good, don't it?
Yeah, who's the jockey?
You haven't heard anything yet. It's got chimes, too. Wait till I set it. It's almost 2 o'clock. There. Now listen, Curly, in a couple of seconds, you'll hear the beautiful chimes.
Yeah, that should be cute.
Now, shh, Curly, it's 2 o'clock. Pretty, ain't they?
How do you tune this thing with your guitar? Remley, I don't like to keep knocking this present, but if it's struck 5 times... How do you figure it's only 2 o'clock?
It's easy. What's the big hand pointing to?
6.
What's the little hand pointing to?
3.
6 and 3 how much?
9.
How many days in the week?
7.
7 from 9 how much?
2.
That's it, it's 2 o'clock. Trouble you is you don't know how to tell time. Well, I should put it on.
How you do that?
Just strap it on your wrist.
Seems too easy for a watch like this. I'll give it a go. Hey, you know, Remley, this watch does look pretty on my wrist. I like the gold with a little touch of green here that seems to be spreading all over the watch as I look at it. What's this thing made of? Penicillin mold?
Please. It's solid gold with a chlorophyll base.
At least I'll have a watch that won't smell. Frankie, I really appreciate this gift, and, well, I want to take this opportunity to thank you and the boys for this watch.
I'll think nothing of it.
I don't, but I want to thank you anyway. Remley, come over here. I got something to tell you, and, well, I don't want the guys in the band to hear it.
Yeah? What is it, Curly?
Look, Remley, I want to ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to lose your job, what would you do to make a living?
Well, I'd run for president like everybody else is doing.
Be serious. I mean, if you were to lose your job with this band, what would you do?
I'd get a job with another band playing the guitar.
Run for president, kid. You got a better chance.
Curly, what are you trying to tell me?
Well, if I were to fire you, what would you do?
I'd kill you.
I believe you would. Look, Remley, I'm sorry to tell you this, but the sponsor ordered me to fire the band.
Fire the band? What kind of a heel are you? Firing a generous group of loyal men who pooled all their money and went out and bought you a beautiful $3 watch. You just don't have any appreciation.
But I do, Frankie. I realize that the $3 was a big sacrifice to the boys. It's a whole month's wine money.
Phil, it was a nice gesture on their
Alice,
part.
Alice, honey, I know it was a nice gesture. I don't want to fire him, but if I don't, Scotty will when he comes down later.
After all these years, he can't take your band off the air. The Phil Harris Band belongs. It's an institution.
I agree, Mr. Remley.
You agree with what?
The Phil Harris Band belongs in an institution.
What are you doing here, Julius?
I was just passing by.
Well, keep passing, keep passing. We're busy. Hey, Rem, we got to think of some way to keep Scotty from firing my band.
You mean the sponsor wants to fire your band, Mr. Harris? How can he ever suggest getting rid of such a wonderful aggregation of accomplished... what's that word again?
Musicians.
No, that ain't it.
Will you beat it, you little fink?
That's the word!
Just ignore him. Look, maybe we can play on Mr. Scott's sympathy.
Sympathy? Hey, that might work.
Yeah,
he did say that he felt bad about doing this.
Good, then I got an idea. If he thought the bad news affected the boys in the band, and they did away with themselves...
That's it. That's it. If Scotty walked in and saw 26 musicians lying dead on the floor, he might feel a little sorry.
No, Curly, 26 bodies is a little overdone. If we just had 13 corpses stretched out, it would be more believable.
It'd be neater, too.
I gotta record some of these conversations for posterity.
Will you keep out of this?
Look, Curly, we'll just pretend that half the guys in the band shot themselves, and when Scotty sees it, he'll be stunned.
I don't think he will.
Why not?
He's used to seeing the guys in your band half shot.
Will you get out of here, you little potato peeler? It's the watch throwing me off.
Now, look, the trouble with you guys is you got no finesse. You do everything with a heavy hand.
Yeah, then how would you do it?
I just have one guy commit suicide. Picture the impact of this. Mr. Scott comes down to the studio, opens the door, and there before his horrified eyes, lying in a pool of blood, is Mr. Harris.
Well, you got the wrong boy, Junior. I ain't gonna be found laying in my blood. Get somebody else's blood.
How about Mr. Remley?
That I like. Because his blood ain't very red. It looks like a weak Manhattan, but... But maybe the sponsor...
Now, wait a minute. You ain't using a pool of my blood.
Remley, not a deep pool. Just enough to go wading in.
Curly, We don't have to have anybody lying on the floor. There's a very simple way of making Scotty think somebody did away with himself.
How?
Well, when Scotty comes in, I'll be in the other room. You tell him I took the news very hard and I'm liable to commit suicide.
Yeah?
When I hear you say that, I'll fire a gun. Julius will say, "What was that?" Alice will say, "It sounded like a shot." You say, "Oh, no, Remley just killed himself." How does that sound?
A little plotty, ain't it?
Seems I've heard that on Helen Trent, Girl Frogman.
It's a good idea, and if we stage it right, it'll work. All we have to...
Hey, fellas, Mr. Scott's coming
in.
Well, good. All right, look, I'll take the sound effects gun, and I'll go in the other room. Now, don't forget, when I hear you say, Remley's liable to commit suicide, fire a gun. Yeah. Julius will say, "What was that?" Alice will say, "It sounded like a shot." You'll say, "Oh, no, Remley just killed himself. Bye."
There goes an amazing talent. His brain is always clicking.
You should click two of you had billiard balls in your head.
I don't care what you say. Remley's scheme might work. At least it's worth a try.
Hello there, Harris. Have you told your musicians they're fired yet?
Yes. Yes, I have, Mr. Scott. And it's really affected them, especially Remley.
Oh, and how did old Knucklehead take it?
Well, I wouldn't jest, Mr. Scott, because it's very serious. When I told Remley, well, he didn't say a word. He just grabbed a gun and went into the other room, and I hate to say this, but Remley is liable to commit suicide.
What was that?
It sounded like a shot.
Oh, no, Remley just killed him.
How did that go again?
Well, I said, Remley's liable to commit suicide. Julia said, "What was that?" Alice said, "It sounded like a shot." And I said, "Remley just killed himself." And then there was... Oh, I see what you mean. Let's run through this scene once more, huh? As I was saying, Mr. Scott, Remley is liable to commit suicide.
It sounded like a shot.
Oh, no, Remley just killed himself.
What was that?
You heard me. I said Remley just killed himself.
What was that?
Wait a minute, that's my line.
Sounded like a shot.
That's my line.
Let's get organized. Scotty, you keep out of there. Now, where was I? Oh, yeah, as I was saying, Remley's liable to commit suicide.
What was that? It sounded like a shot.
Remley, stop patting your part.
Miss Faye, what's going on here?
Oh, nothing much. It's just Frankie committing suicide.
That's right, Mr. Scott. He shot himself in the head.
Five times? That's impossible.
Not with Remley. He's got a self-sealing skull.
How can you people jest when Frankie lies there with all them new holes in his head? Poor lad lying
all
there.
Right, the... All right. You can stop it now. Ooh, do I have lousy actors on my show. Remley, you can come out now.
Well, Mr. Scott, we had to put this act on to try to save the boys in the band from getting fired.
Well, your histrionics are entirely unnecessary. We decided to keep your band.
Oh, you did? Oh, that's wonderful. What made you change your mind, Scotty?
My wife. She insisted that the band...
Alice and Phil will be back in just a moment. The most important reason for choosing an RCA Victor superset is this. You get the best performance possible. You get clearer pictures in the city, stronger pictures in the country, steadier pictures in even the most difficult reception areas. And here's why. Every RCA Victor superset brings you television with picture power, the result of a revolutionary new circuit system and an electronic supercharger. This built-in reserve of power is the reason why they're in a class by themselves, for performance. And now, these high standards of performance are matched with wonderful low prices. Yes, prices on RCA Victor supersets start as low as $229.95. And they're complete. including federal excise tax, full-year warranty on the picture tube, and no extra charge for mahogany finishes. So, buy an RCA Victor Superset. Get the television that's setting tomorrow's quality standards.
Next, Theater Guild on the Air presents The Sea Wolf on NBC.